Now, most churches where I preach at start at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I usually don't get in the pulpit till 11:30, so I could preach for an hour this morning. But I'll probably be nice and not do it because the preacher already made me nervous this morning. I forget how much of a cut-up he is sometimes, and he got up there with that statement, "If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all." I thought, oh, dear God. But he was right in what he followed up with that. Just because that is not a true statement, and we don't believe in lordship salvation, it sure doesn't mean we shouldn't try to get as close to him as we should. Sure doesn't mean that we shouldn't try our best, amen, walk as close as we should with him, and that he should be the Lord of all. He should be. Amen. It don't have nothing to do with whether you're saved or not, because ain't none of us going to be perfect, but it doesn't mean he can't be the Lord of everything in your life. Amen. Amen. He said, say something about my CDs. I usually don't, but he said I could, so I will. Our newest one is live at Happy Valley Baptist Church. We did that down in Georgia. And, man, we had a good time that night. We shouted her out, and that's live. It's got quite a few songs on it. Stay with the Ark, that's me and my wife. Jesse made that one, so, you know. So, yeah, you can buy it if you want to. But I'll put a disclaimer on it. Jesse made it. This is an old live one we have. It's got a lot of songs that we usually sing, but it's got, I don't know, some of you have heard that song Bartimaeus I sing. It's got that on there, and it gets pretty wild on that. And that one wasn't even made in the South. We did that at Allen Ryman's church in Delaware, and it got wild. It got pretty crazy that night, and then, believe it or not, that is me. I was 18 years old when I made that. That's my senior picture in high school. But I had hair back then, amen? But that is an old one, but it's got a few decent songs on it, amen. I'm not doing very good at promoting my product. I ought to be talking about how wonderful it is and you need to have it, but that one's got drums on it. I was liberal back in those days, but if you like drums, there you go. That's the one you want. So, I like it. I mean, I like it, but, you know, everybody has their own taste, so I'm just giving you a warning. But anyway, they're back there. We've got a few preaching CDs and... I used to say help yourself, and then people started helping themselves. So, but I think they're $12 a piece. So, but go back there and look them over, and if you want something, I hope it'll be a blessing. Matthew chapter number 17. Let's go ahead and stand. I know you've been sitting for a little bit. Let's just go ahead and stand. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And after 6 days... Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." You can be seated. I appreciate you standing. Peter makes a statement in verse number 4. He tells Jesus, he says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." Now, I know and I've heard all the preachers say it, and I agree with them. I understand where they're coming from. It was a very boneheaded statement to make. Because no doubt they could not dwell on the mountain. And even in the Christian life, thank God for the mountaintop experiences, but the reality is we wouldn't be worth shooting if it wasn't for a valley every once in a while. If it wasn't for a storm, amen, amen, we just wouldn't be much of a testimony to other people that are watching our lives. You can't be on the mountain all the time. And they couldn't stay on the mountain, so it was kind of, and Peter was known for just blurting out things that didn't make sense half the time. But before I knock him too hard, come on, man. What would you say if you were up there with Jesus and two Old Testament saints appear before you? I mean, I guess them preachers that give him a hard time, I guess they would have known just what to say. I mean, they would have had it all figured out, you know. So let's have a little bit of grace on him. I'd probably do the same thing. But he said, at least he said something that sounded intelligent. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. That sounds like a pretty good thing to say. In the atmosphere and what's going on, the situation, the circumstances surrounding where they're at. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Now, I guess Dr. Fliggenbottom and Dr. Smellfungus down at the university, with all their degrees, I'm sure they would have known just what to say. Dearest Lord Jesus, what a phenomenal occurrence has transpired that we could be in this place of utter magnitude. Selah. Y'all didn't know I could talk that fancy, didn't you? Y'all didn't know anybody from Arkansas that now lives in North Carolina could talk that fancy, did you? You can say that junk all you want to, but I can relate with Peter. Amen. He had to have a little bit of redneck in him because all he could say is, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And I don't know about you this morning, but that's how I feel about the church. I love the church. I love my church this morning. I bow down on my knees this morning and I begin to pray for our meeting here this week and the services here this morning. But then I also took time to pray for my church back home because even if I'm not there, I love them people. I love my church, my family, my own family. They're there this morning. I want them to receive something. But let me say, I thank God for this church here this morning. This is the first time I've ever been here. I've met your preacher a couple times. We didn't really know each other. We'd fellowshipped very little. But the short time that I've already been here this morning, I love what's going on here. And if I feel that way, I would hope that you feel that way this morning. It's good for us to be here. And I figure we're starting out a new year. We're starting out a revival meeting. You're not going to have revival if you don't love your church. You want to see God move this week? You want to see revival take place at Solid Rock Baptist Church? It's not going to happen unless you love your church. And I just want to preach for a few minutes on it's good for us to be here. Lord, we need you this morning. We're praying that you'll help us. God, we thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit that's already dwelt among us here this morning, God, and how you've blessed us with your presence. And I pray you'll help us now as we preach. Give us the words to say. God, help us to say them with the right spirit, please. We'll thank you and praise you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have to loosen up my collar here. Sometime in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, my wife shrunk my shirts in the washer. So, any of that happen to any of you other men? Your wife go on a shirt shrinking spree? I know that's what it's got to be. It's got to be her shrinking them in the laundry. It couldn't be anything else. But... We live in a day where there's so much confusion about what the church is or what it should be. You can turn on the television and see just about every extreme of religion you want to see. You can turn on the television nowadays and God knows, I don't know why they would, but you can turn it on and see what the Catholics are doing on there and the Methodists and the Episcopalians. And it seems to me I've never been into that kind of an atmosphere. I mean, I've been raised Baptist my whole life. I've never been around that. It seems to me it'd be bored enough sitting there, but then to sit and watch it on TV. Who wants to watch that on TV? Come on, you got to agree with me right there. You can turn over the next station and you'll hear all the guys, just make that vow. Sow that seed of faith. You make that vow and God's going to bless you. And He's going to return it 100-fold. And God, it's always money, 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 money. Then you can turn to the next channel and here's Benny Hinn blowing on people and they're passing out on the floor. That's pretty bad breath, I'd say. He used to pop them on the head, but he found he got less lawsuits if he just blows on them. Amen. So, and then you can flip over to so many other channels and you got all these feel-good, warm, fuzzy preachers that make you feel all, warm and cozy. And it's all love. And thank God for that. Thank God for love. We should preach about God's love and how much He loves us. That's a wonderful thing. No doubt we need it. We need to every once in a while preach a positive message, We need to preach those kind of messages, but there's a whole lot more to it than that. And there's an element of truth in some of those. Probably not Benny Hinn or the Episcopalians and all of them, but some of these others that you'll see, there's an element of truth there, but there's not much balance. They're missing balance. And what it's producing is confusion. People are so confused about, somebody gets saved, they're a new Christian, And the first thing they do, the first mistake they make is they flip on the TV and try to figure out, now what should I find? What kind of church should I find? And I know, you know, like even up here, we was watching y'all's television program this morning. There's no telling how much heresy's on there. But I understand there's every once in a while you can find something good. For the most part, most of the stuff that you see in the name of God on television, it's a mess and it's confusion. And we know this morning that God is not the author of confusion. Even in our independent Baptist movement, our Bible-believing churches, you know, there's a lot of confusion. There's so many cliques. There's so many different things going on. There's so many extremes that you can go to. Like he mentioned this morning, you got your lordship salvation extreme. You got your easy believism extreme. You got all this stuff going on, and it's just produced confusion. Let me just give you a few simple things this morning that the church should be. In verse number 1 there in Matthew chapter number 17, it said that he bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. They came apart. They came apart from all the busyness of the town going on down the mountain. They came apart from all the things going on, whatever it might have been back in their day. They came apart to meet with Jesus. Let me say, first of all, the church should be a place of refuge.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It ought to be a place of refuge. The church is not somewhere, amen, where we say, well, we got to go to church tomorrow. Well, it's revival. We got to go to church all week. Hey, I want to say this morning, I thank God for the church. It's a refuge to the saints of God. Amen. A place where we can go and get, amen, encouraged. A place where we can go and get help. A place where when we have sin in our life, at least we can go and hear the truth of God's word. Get it confessed. Get it under the blood. Get our relationship right with God. Get it what it should be. It's a refuge to the child of God. And I say, thank God there's no other place in this world like it. You can go down to Walmart or wherever y'all go around here and they'll have all kind of specials. They'll have all kind of deals where you can save. But thank God there ain't no place that I like the church. Amen. The house of God. No other place like it in the world. You can go to the restaurants around here and get you a good meal. Fill your belly and satisfy you, or you can go home and take you a good Sunday afternoon nap. But you won't get down there what you'll get at the house of God. Amen. No other place like the church. I thank God for it. This is our refuge. We go through this old world day in and day out. We go to work. Some of you go to school and people, they cuss. They tell filthy, dirty jokes. They make fun of you because you're a Christian. They run down God. They talk about their liberal politics and all this. You turn on the news. You pick up a newspaper. Amen. It just seems like depression everywhere. But thank God we can come in here. Amen. And get some good news. From the good word of God. Here's some preaching from the word of God. Amen. Here's some songs that lift up God. Amen. Get around other people that love God and want to talk about God. Amen. Hear about how God's been blessing you and how God's been blessing you and what He's done for you. Boy, there's nothing like it. My little boy, a lot of times, you know, he's bad about saying, do we got to go to church today? And sometimes I just say, you know, if I'm not careful, I'll say, yeah. But I've been trying to catch myself saying, no, we get to go to church today. We get to go to church. It's a privilege to go to church. It's a privilege, amen, amen, to be able to come in here, see what God has for you. You say, well, it's easy for you to say this is a good church. It's the first time you've been here. It is. I realize that. But I've been checking y'all out. Well, that's what you got a website for, so people can check you out. Amen. Sometimes I want to know what I'm getting into, you know. Y'all don't know what y'all getting into, but I checked it out. And I personally, I may be wrong, but I believe that one thing that really should define a church is preaching. Now, I know there's other things, amen. There's passing out tracts and soul winning and street preaching. There's music. Music, no doubt, adds to church. But for the most part, what's going to define whether it's a good church or not is going to be the preaching. And y'all get some good preaching. I can say this morning wholeheartedly that y'all have a good church based on the fact y'all get good preaching. Now, I've never heard your pastor preach. I heard it a little bit, you know, while I was getting ready this morning on the TV. But I'm going to take a guess, say he's a good preacher. I know he's a Bible-believing preacher. But I know he brings in good people all throughout the year. People that I do know personally. That I have heard preach a lot. And they preach good. They preach the truth. They don't, you know, piddle around and play around. They get serious about the preaching of God's Word. I know he brings in men like Brother Mark and Brother Drummond, all them different men, Brother Spurgeon, you know, maybe with the exception of Jesse, you know. I know you get good preaching, and let me just go ahead and be honest, maybe with the exception of this week, I don't know. But I know you get good preaching, and I know you got a good place here. This should be a refuge to you. Your children should not hear you whining and complaining, amen, every Sunday over Sunday lunch, amen. They should not have to hear you complain. Even if maybe you don't agree with something the preacher did. Even I may say something this week that you don't like. And I may even be wrong for saying it. I'm a human being, okay? And if you have a problem with that, that's fine. But your children should not hear you talk about it. Amen. It ought to be a refuge to the saints. I know I've been guilty of this. I used to, you know, this world is a wicked place. And a lot of times, as a full-time preacher, if you're not careful, you can lose touch with reality. I've been guilty of going into churches on Wednesday night or whenever the midweek service is. And I've been guilty of saying stuff like, well, bless God, why are y'all so dead? Why are y'all so dry? I mean, you were shouting on Sunday. Well, ain't God just as good on Wednesday as He is on Sunday? And the truth is, He is. And He's worthy of our worship anytime. But the reality is, our bodies can't take it after we've been working all week. You know, we get Saturday, most of us anyway, we get Saturday to rest up. And then you can go to church on Sunday. But we get tired. We get wore out. The Lord, during this month of December, I got a job. And it's actually the first secular job I've had in 7 years. And I got a job delivering pizza for Domino's Pizza. And I thank God for it for several reasons. First of all, it helped us to get through the month of December until our meeting started back. And I'm thankful that He would allow me to do that. Second of all, it was humbling. It was. You know, you're a preacher all the time. You know, you wear your suits. You hobnob with the preachers. You're out on the golf course. Amen. It was humbling to put that little hat on and that shirt that they didn't have one my size and it hung down to here. It was humbling to go deliver a pizza to a motel where I used to go in and say, reservation for Waters. It was humbling to go in there with that big old outfit. Here's your pizza. But I needed that. I did. I needed that. But number three, it showed me a little bit what people that I preach to every week are going through every day. That I just did for a month. They do it every day, every year. They've been doing it for years because you love your families. And you want to take care of them. You want to provide for them. You want to do your job, amen, as a husband, as a father, to take care of your families. And I salute you. I'm not saying that a preacher never has hard times. I mean, especially, and a pastor knows more about that than an evangelist. We blow in, blow up, and blow out half the time. I'm not trying to say the job of a preacher is just easy and it's all a bed of roses. But man, it showed me, man, it's tiring. You have to put up with so much stuff. The filthy language. The filthy language I had to put up with the last month. It's just I hadn't heard that in years. And it bothered me. And I'm glad it bothered me. If it didn't, there'd be something wrong. Thursday night, let's see, Friday night was actually my last night. This was my first meeting back out on the road. Friday night was my last night. And it was just real slow. We weren't getting any deliveries. And it was just slow, and we were working in the back room just folding pizza boxes and stuff. And everybody, I mean, just cuss words were flying like crazy. Now, it was killing me. Finally, I went to the manager. I said, can I go home? He said, yeah, I guess. I said, he said, well, why don't you, he said, you're a preacher. He said, why don't you just pray that the Lord will start sending us some business? I said, you think He's going to bless this place the way y'all talk around here? I mean, it's my last day, you know. I mean, come on, what's He going to do, fire me? And I didn't do it. I promise you, I didn't do it in an ugly way. He's my manager. He was my authority, even last day or not. He was the authority. I wasn't disrespectful. I just said, you think God's going to bless this place? And he's like, well, you're probably right. And he actually gave me some extra money. So, hallelujah. But it gets weary out there. Aren't you glad you've got a place this morning? I mean, even in New England. You're blessed. You've got a place. I know people. Listen to me. I know people in Arkansas, which is considered still part of the Bible Belt, part of the South. I know people that they're legitimate when they say we do not have a church to go to without driving at least 2 hours. And here you are in a place where most people think God never shows up. And you've got a place, not only a church, but you've got a church that preaches and teaches the truth. You've got a church that knows how to worship God. I say thank God for how He's blessed you. You've got a refuge here this morning. It's a refuge to the saints. Let me say, it ought to also be a refuge to the sinner. Because we're all sinners. But let me say this. It ought to be a refuge to the most vile, wicked sinner living in this area. Amen. Somebody comes in here, maybe they don't smell just right. Maybe they don't look just right. They don't look as holy and high as you do. We're to make them feel welcome. Let them know we're glad they're here. I didn't say put them up singing. I didn't say put them teaching a Sunday school class right away. I just said we're to love them and make them feel welcome. Amen. Now the preacher will get up and do his job and preach the Word of God, and that'll do some conviction on them. They might not feel so comfortable then, but we ought to make them feel welcome. And there's a lot of that going on nowadays. A lot of churches, they don't want them kind of people. We don't want them people, you know. Why not? I mean, we forget where God brought some of us from. Some of you forget the gutter you were in when you got saved. How low you had sunk when God reached down and saved your sorry hide. Amen. We get so high and holy, we think, boy, we're really something. Well, we've really arrived. Hey, we're nothing but old sinners saved by the good grace of God. And they deserve a chance to hear the same message you heard. They deserve a chance, amen, to meet the God that you know. They'll not do it if we're ugly to them, if we turn our nose up at them. I like Brother Jimmy Hood. He's a preacher in Columbus, Ohio. And Brother Hood, he just assumed be down there in the ghetto with the down and outs rather than hobnobbing with us. Amen. That's because he loves them people. He's not out looking for the most wealthy. He's not out looking for the best looking who's got the fan. He's out looking for somebody that he can help, that he can tell them about Jesus Christ. And your church ought to be that way. I'm not saying don't. Yeah, go after the people with the money. They need Jesus too. Go after the people that dress super nice and drive their Cadillac Escalades and all that. They need Jesus too. But hey, let's not forget there's people down here. They might not smell the nicest. They might not necessarily be the most pleasant people to be around. But hey, you introduce them to Jesus Christ, it'll change them. It'll change their life, turn their world upside down. Church ought to be a refuge to them. Let me say number two, the church should be a place of rejoicing. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, you know, throughout the Bible, God gave us a lot of commands. He gave us a lot of things that He said you need to do. He's got things throughout the Word of God that says, don't do this. Stay away from that. Get busy about this. But when He said, rejoice in the Lord always, He must have known how dead we must be sometimes. Because He came through there and put a little tag on it, said, and again, I say rejoice. He must have known how dead we would be, amen? Because He said, I say again, I say rejoice. And no doubt, man, the church is so dead and morbid anymore. You go into the average Baptist church, there's no life. We're scared to shout because we're afraid somebody will label us a Pentecostal or a charismatic. We're scared to lift a hand to God because we're afraid somebody will make fun of us. I'm sure glad on his way to Calvary that day he wasn't worried about what people were saying. I'm sure glad as he was carrying that cross that day, that cross that should have been mine. I'm so glad he didn't say, well, they're making fun of me. They're mocking me. Hey, he went all the way and gave his life for you and me because he loved us. In spite of what people were saying, in spite of how people were ridiculing him, he didn't care. He went all the way. Why can't we praise him? Why can't we rejoice in what He's done for us? Man, He's blessed us so much. He's worthy of our praise this morning. And I say the church should be a place of rejoicing. It should be. But the reality is we can praise Him anywhere. And we should praise Him anywhere. I can be driving down the road in my car, pop in a good singing CD or a good preaching CD. And before you know it, amen, I've got a hand in the air. My wife's saying, get your hand back on the wheel. Have you met Alan Ryman? He's crazy. He's a nut, brother. We popped in a preaching CD one time. We was on our way to a meeting. And it was just, the meeting was crazy. I mean, it was getting wild. The people were shouting around. You couldn't even hear the preacher because people were shouting so loud. Alan Ryman's over there about to go off the road. And I'm like, dear God, help us, Lord. But we ought to come in here and praise Him too. As a whole. And give Him glory. Worship Him. He's worthy. It ought to be a place of rejoicing. There's enough dead religion around here. There's enough dead religion around this whole country. Religion without God. Religion in itself is a mess. Amen. But a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. It makes a difference. Amen. And there's enough churches that you can go into that are like a mortuary. Hey, listen, we got plenty of hospitals up and down the road where people are sad. There's plenty of jails full of people that have run their lives. There's plenty, amen, there's plenty of funeral homes this morning in cemeteries where people are going and they're weeping. They're discouraged and they're down. The church should not be that place. It ought to be a place of joy, a place of happiness. God's people ought to be the happiest people in the world. And I understand we get down at times too. We get discouraged. When we come in here, there ought to be something about coming into God's house and into His presence that ought to put a smile on your face. Ought to put a little pep in your step. Amen. Sometimes we rejoice with shouting. Psalm 5:11 said, "Let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy." You say, "Well, I don't believe in shouting." Well, you don't believe the Bible then. I don't understand for the life of me. I don't understand how all these Christian universities and seminaries, I don't understand how they're teaching these young people, amen, that, well, we don't shout. We don't believe in this. They don't believe the Bible then. Amen. All throughout the Bible, you'll find where God's people shout. They rejoice. And they do it in a loud way. Some people might find that obnoxious, but it's because they're not right with God. Amen. So let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. That's talking about saved people. That's talking about you and me this morning. It's okay to shout. Amen. In spite of what they teach you down at the college. In spite of what they say on the TV. Amen. In spite of what they say down at the big dog conference. It's okay to shout. I like shouting. I like it when it's wild. I like it when it's crazy. As long as God's in it, I like it. I've seen it get ridiculous. I've seen it get fleshy. I've seen it get that way. But that doesn't mean we should just stop worshiping Him. Let the ridiculous people be ridiculous. Let the Lord deal with that. But that doesn't mean somebody said, "Well, you know, you get all that going on, you know, you have a bunch of wildfire." You ain't got to worry about wildfire where there's no fire at all. Amen. And that's usually the crowd that's worried about wildfire. There ain't no fire. We rejoice with shouting. We rejoice with singing. Amen. I like good singing. The Bible said in Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We rejoice with singing. I've enjoyed the singing this morning. We've had a lot of singing this morning. I like that. I appreciate Brother Eric getting up here, and I'm not trying to pump his head up or nothing, amen? But I appreciate him getting up here, man. He's excited about leading the old songs of Zion, amen? He's excited about it, and he's trying to get you all excited about it. And I like good congregational singing, amen? You don't get much of it anymore. I go to a church not far from where I live in North Carolina. You wouldn't think it'd be like this in North Carolina. There's a lot of dead mess around there, too. But I go to a church. Why they have me in, I do not know, but they keep having me back, so I go. But the song leader gets up every Sunday morning. He starts the service all like this. "Good Sabbath to you. Let us take our hymnal and go to..." And it's like, oh, God, help us. I like good singing. It don't have to sound good. It don't have to be proper, amen. But when it's done for the glory of God, I like it. Amen. I've heard people get up and they had all the talent in the world, Brother Gary. I mean, they had talent running, I mean, just dripping off of them. But they didn't have God. They didn't have God, and it sounded good. It appealed to the flesh, but boy, it didn't do much for my spirit. But then I've heard some saint of God that couldn't sing worth a lick. But boy, they knew God. They'd been on their knees before God. And they'll get up and sing an old hymn unto God. May God just sweep through that place. Amen. I like it. Now, if you can have both of them together, that's good too. But if I have a choice, I'll take the one that's got the touch of God. I'll take the touch over the talent any day. Amen. There's all kinds of talent, but there ain't much touch around anymore. That touch of God makes a difference. Boy, you get up and sing in this church, amen, you make sure you have God on you. Because you can make or break a service. Amen. I like singing. I was talking about congregational singing, amen. You don't sing out if you just sit there, you know. Blah, 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 you're missing a chance to worship God. That's a chance for you to worship. And when you don't, you miss that chance. You miss that opportunity. Congregational singing, I guess I'm hitting that pretty hard because it is. It's died. Around the country, they're going to all this other junk because the hymns, we've let them just die. We don't rejoice in them anymore. But they're good. Them old hymns will still work. I'm not opposed to a little chorus every now and then, I guess. I'm not opposed to taking the psalms and making songs. I'm not opposed to that, but there's something about them old hymns. There's something about them old saints of God that wrote them. They went through some things. They knew what they were writing about. Right. Fanny Crosby knew what she was writing about. Amen. You can't beat the old hymns. They're our chance to worship. And that's just something that's dying. And that's our chance to rejoice in the Lord through song. We rejoice with singing. And I guess I shouldn't have to hit that too hard around here because y'all are doing a pretty good job at it. I enjoyed singing with you this morning. That was a blessing. Sometimes we rejoice with the shedding of tears. Amen. I like it. Listen, I like it. I like it when it's loud. I like it when it's crazy and people are running up and down the aisles. Amen. I'll jump in with you and run with you. Amen. I like it. I like it when it's noisy, but some of my favorite times or when you can't shout. It's just the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is just so thick and so real. You can't even lift your head up. And sometimes all you can find yourself doing is just moving down to an altar and weeping. I like it when it's like that. And I'm not trying to say anything about not shouting. I'm for it. There's those times too. But just for me personally, it don't have to be this way for you. It's more real with me sometimes when all I can do is weep and cry and crawl down to an altar and say, thank you, God, for all you've done for me. And even in spite of what you have or what you haven't done, just who you are. We rejoice a lot over what God has done. But what we need to just rejoice in just who He is. He's a wonderful Savior. Even if you're having a bad day today, He's still good. Yes, sir. And He's still worthy. Yes, sir. That woman in Luke chapter number 7, she had that alabaster box of ointment. She brought it to Jesus. She was not a respected woman in the community. She was a down and outer. But she knew who He was. And she brought that ointment that she had saved up. I'm sure it cost her a lot of money to get that. She took it and poured it out upon His feet. With her tears, with her own tears in that ointment, she wiped the feet of Jesus. And she didn't get a handkerchief. She didn't get a washcloth. She took her own hair and wiped the feet of Jesus. There's something sweet about that. It'd do some of you tough men in here. It'd do you good every once in a while to shed some tears. It do you good sometime, amen. You think you're so tough and I'm a tough man. I'm a man's man. It do you good, and that's good that you are, but a man's man will cry, amen, over something as precious as the Lord Jesus. That doesn't make you a sissy. That doesn't make you a sissy at all just because, amen, it does something to you to think that Jesus shed His blood for your sins. Some of you ladies in here, you'll cry over all these little chick flicks you watch on TV. You'll cry reading your little romance novels. And then you can come to church and just so hard and so callous. Nothing moves you to tears anymore that has to do with the love of God or Jesus Christ. Got a little bit cold. It ought to be a place of rejoicing. Let me give you this last one. Go to John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. It's good for us to be here. John chapter number 11 and verse number 38. The natives are getting restless back there. I better hurry. Y'all are saying, just preach, brother, preach. The nursery workers are saying, shut up. Verse number 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. You say, preacher, I thought we were talking about the church this morning. What does this have to do with the church? The raising of Lazarus. Because the church should also be a place of resurrection. A place of revival. A place of refreshing. Because we do get discouraged. The reality is, in spite of what you hear on TV, the reality is we do get down. And I'm glad this morning there's a place where we can come. And just get a little boost in the arm. We can come and gather around each other, the people of God. We can come and gather around God's Word and old-fashioned preaching and sing those old songs like we was talking about a while ago and get revived. That's why, man, I appreciate the fact that y'all have so many revivals throughout the year. It may get weary on you sometimes. I don't know, but we need that.
Yes, sir.
We need it because we go through this world and they'll drag us down. It's good when we can come in here together, especially for a whole week like this, and just get a little something extra. It's a resurrection of the Spirit. He said in verse 44, he said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. All right, Brother Jack Patterson, somebody will be getting excited preaching. Loose him and let him go. I like it. Amen. Some of you, even here this morning, most of you pretty wound up, but some of you, you're tight. Amen. I'm here to tell you, hey, let it go.
Yes,
amen. Just let go. God, start moving. Let it go. You say, let go of what? Let go of your pride. Let go of your sin. Let go of whatever you're holding on to that God wants from you. Some of you, He wants your praise. Let it go. Some of you, He just wants you to move to an altar. Well, you know, I just, it's not necessarily invitation. When is invitation time? Altars are open all the time. Doesn't bother me a bit. Come down during the singing. Come down during the preaching. It don't bother me. You ain't going to mess me up. You say, does stuff like that, does it make you nervous? No, it makes me nervous when it ain't like that. It makes me nervous when it's not like it is here this morning. I feel at home here this morning. In New England, I feel at home. Oh no. Should have turned it off. Church, it's good for us to be here. Let me point one thing out to you and then I'm done. And I'm just going to let the pastor have the invitation this morning to do whatever he wants to do. Back in our text, and you don't have to turn there, but back in Matthew chapter number 17, it said, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Yeah. You want to know how to have a good church? Yeah, keep the emphasis on Jesus. Yeah. Back during the summer, I had a week off the road, and we were doing some remodeling at our Christian school to get ready for the new school year, and I went up to help them. We were working one day, me and my preacher, and we got to talking about different things that people make hobby horses out of. Standards are a good thing, but if you're not careful, you make it a hobby horse. Soul winning's a great thing, but if you're not careful, you just make a hobby horse out of it. All those things, if you're not careful, those good things, if you're not careful, you make a hobby horse out of one or the other, and you lose that balance that you should have in the church and in your ministry.
Right.
You know what my preacher told me? I'll never forget this. He said, you know what, Brother Daniel? He said, I just figure around here, if we'll keep the emphasis on Jesus, having standards and being separated from this world, he said, it's not going to be a problem. So if we'll keep the emphasis on Jesus, shouting her out and worshiping God, it's not going to be a problem. Said if we'll keep the emphasis on Jesus, people aren't going to have a problem going and passing out tracts and standing on the street corner and preach. Keep the emphasis on Jesus. You'll have a good church. It's good for us to be here. I hope you feel the same way this morning. Come on, preacher.